تريدون نأتي بالبشت والبطرة ولا هكذا؟ ها؟
Sheikh said you prefer him to wear the hutra and the bish. He goes, we'll just continue like this, inshallah, without them.
هذا ليس للتسجيل. تمام.
It's not something which is, you know, necessary or prescribed.
Cut this, huh?
For this.
هذا الكلام.
Inshallah, we'll have to edit out the first part of this from your recordings.
ما يصلح.
Not necessary.
بما أن الشيخ في الطريق سنذكر بتذكرة.
Up until the Sheikh arrives, then we'll mention some reminders.
فهي ليست محاضرة.
This is not a lecture.
ولا درس.
It is not a درس or a lesson.
إنما هي مذاكرة.
Rather, this is a reminder.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد.
So the Sheikh began with the Khutbah al-Haja, as you are well versed with it, inshallah, no need to translate that.
أنا إن رفعت صوتي أخشى على الميكروفونات.
I'll raise my voice and I fear for the microphones.
هل تريدونني أرفع صوتي؟
Do you wish for me to raise my voice? My voice, not the Sheikh's voice. Translated.
إذن هذه مشكلته.
In that case, that is his problem, not mine.
أشكر الله.
We thank Allah.
أن جعلكم من المسلمين.
That we have come with Islam or with the Muslims.
فأنتم من ذرية آدم.
That you are from the offspring of Adam, عليه السلام.
ومنهم مؤمن وكافر.
And from them there are those who are Muslims and those who are unbelievers.
فهذا فضل الله علينا.
And this is from the virtue of Allah, the blessings of Allah upon us.
سواء كنت مسلم بالولادة أو مسلم بالشهادة.
Regardless of whether this is someone who is a Muslim by way of birth or by way of entering into Islam.
فالذي بالولادة جعله الله في أصلاب المسلمين.
And by way of birth, then this is something that is from the lineage or from the offspring of the Muslims.
من أصلاب المسلمين.
Or from the spinal cord of the Muslim.
أما من أسلم بالشهادة فهو عرف الكفر وعرف الإسلام.
And as for the one who entered into Islam, then he is aware of that which is kufr and that which is Islam.
يا أيها المسلم حافظ على هذه النعمة.
O Muslim, preserve and maintain this blessing.
بأمور.
With affairs.
واحد.
Firstly.
أن تعبد الله وحده لا شريك له.
That you worship Allah alone without any partners.
أي العناية بالتوحيد.
I.e. taking giving importance to or paying attention to the affair of Tawheed.
في أقوالك.
In your speech.
في أفعالك.
In your actions.
في أموالك.
In your with regard to your wealth.
في قلبك.
And with regard to your heart.
وفي المقابل أن تحذر من الشرك.
and in or facing that in opposition to shirk.
في أقوالك.
In your sayings.
في أفعالك.
In your actions.
في أموالك.
In your wealth.
في قلبك.
And with regard to your heart.
إذن الأمر الأول.
In that case, the first affair is.
ينقسم إلى قسمين.
Is divided into two portions or two parts.
والقسمين.
And these two parts.
تحوي ثمانية أشياء.
They consist of eight affairs.
هذا الأمر الأول.
And this is the first affair.
من يعيد؟
Who will recount these affairs back to us?
Yes. هل سمعت ما قلت أنا؟
Did you hear what I said? Sheikh wishes for you to repeat the affairs that he mentioned.
الإجابة على السؤال تكون بعد فهم السؤال.
The answering the question is after hearing the or understanding the question.
قلت ما هو الأمر الأول؟
I asked what is the first affair, meaning that he mentioned himself.
الذي ينقسم إلى قسمين.
That which is divided into two parts.
وكل قسم ينقسم تحته أربعة أشياء.
And each affair is comes under four matters.
لأني سأبدأ بذكر الأمثلة.
Because I mentioned there was a mention of examples or affairs.
فأريد أن تعرفوا اجعلوها كالشجرة. كالمخطط.
So this is an affair that is like a tree that comes under like a
جدول.
Like a timetable.
واحد الأمر الأول أهمية التوحيد الحذر من الشرك.
Like a almost like a flow chart that you that we mentioned the first affair. So that first affair branches into two parts. The importance of Tawheed and the warning against Shirk. That's what we mentioned.
التوحيد اجعل تحته أربعة أشياء.
And Tawheed, it comes under or mentioned or from it come four affairs that we mentioned.
والشرك اجعل تحته أربعة أشياء.
And we mentioned that likewise with Shirk, there were four affairs related to that also.
اجعل تحت التوحيد أقوال.
So under Tawheed we mentioned the أقوال, the sayings.
مثال.
Example.
Ya Allah.
Oh my Lord. Oh Allah.
Ya Mu'afi Shafini.
Cure me. Oh cure, cure me.
Ya Kareem Irzuqni.
Oh generous one. Show me generosity.
اثنين أعمال.
The second affair under the chapter, remember the heading of Tawheed, is the affair of the actions.
السجود لله.
The prostration to Allah.
الركوع لله.
The bowing to Allah.
الطواف الكعب حول الكعبة لله.
The circumambulation of the كعبة.
ثلاثة.
The third affair.
أموال.
The wealth.
النذر.
Taking vows.
النفقة.
Giving in charity.
الذبح.
Slaughtering.
أربعة. القلوب.
The fourth affair is the hearts.
مثال.
Example.
الخوف.
Fear.
الرجاء.
Hope.
التوكل.
Trust.
بالنسبة للنساء.
With regard to the affair, to the sisters.
تكتب وتأتي بورقة. تكتب الشجرة, ترسم الشجرة وتأتي بورقة.
With regard to the sisters, that which we have mentioned, this flow chart or this tree, which began at the top with the first affair, then the Shaykh has mentioned, if the sisters can write that tree that we have just mentioned to you, almost like a family tree that you would draw with the father at the top and so on. If the sisters can write that down, send it through.
نريد الحضور إيجابي.
And we want from those who are present to give us the answer.
ومشاركة.
And to interact with us.
وبالنسبة لأبنائنا وأخواننا تكون مشافهة.
And as for that's with regard to sisters, they write it down and send it through this tree that we have drawn. And as with regard to the brothers, then it will be by way of speech between ourselves.
تريدون نستفيد.
Do you wish to benefit?
لابد من هكذا.
Then no doubt we have to do it like this.
نأتي للقسم الثاني خطورة then, الشرك.
Now let's move to the second part of this, which is the danger of shirk.
وينقسم إلى أربعة أقسام.
Then the shirk is also into four different parts.
أقوال.
The sayings.
يا حسين.
Such as, oh Hussein, meaning calling upon Hussein, the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Ya Abdul Qadir.
Oh Ya Abdul Qadir.
Ya Jailani.
Ya Jailani, all these saints that their Sufis worship.
Ya Fulan, Ya Fulan.
Oh so and so, oh so and so.
Shafini, Afini.
Aid me and give me health.
Rudda Ghaibi.
Return to me that which is lost or that which has been misplaced.
Ali Amthila Mukhtasara.
And these are just examples summarized.
Al Af'al.
The actions. Second affair.
Al Sujood.
Making sajda.
عند القبر.
At the graves.
الطواف.
Making tawaf.
حول القبور.
At the grave, at the gravesite.
الاعتكاف.
Making اعتكاف or
عندها.
Secluding oneself at the grave.
ثلاثة.
The third affair.
الأموال.
The, with regard to the wealth.
الذبح عندها.
Sacrificing at the grave.
النذر لها.
Taking vows towards the dead in their graves.
تقريب القربات لها.
Coming close to the graves by way of one's actions.
العناية بها بالشمع والزيت والكهرباء والنظافة وغير ذلك من النفقات التي على القبور.
Doing all these types of affairs like the providing of electricity and other types of affairs and charity at the graveside.
أربعة.
Fourth affair.
القلوب.
With regard to the hearts.
خوف منها.
Being fearful of the inhabitant of the grave.
الرجاء فيها.
Having hope with regard to it.
تعلق القلوب بها.
Connecting the heart to the deceased in his grave.
خوف السر.
Being afraid of the hidden.
ما هو secret. خوف السر.
What is this fear of the hidden affairs or the unknown affairs?
عندما يذكر له الساحر أو الكاهن أو صاحب القبر.
Or with regard to the kahin or the fortune teller, the soothsayer, the magician, and the inhabitant of the grave.
وأراد أن يذمه. أراد أن يذكر فيه شيئا سيئا.
That he may mention something or he may mention something with regard to evil.
فماذا يكون?
What takes place?
بعضهم يقول اسكت اسكت لا يأتينا منه ضرر.
Some will say, be quiet, for they won't come to you any harm.
ألا يحصل هذا?
Will this take place?
بعضكم لا يعرف هذا.
That some of you do not know this affair.
ولكن هذا يحصل.
But this affair takes place.
يخافونهم خوف الغيب.
That they are afraid of the unseen.
خوف السر.
This is the hidden or the secret fear.
لأنهم يخشون أن تصيبهم منهم مصيبة.
That you may be afflicted by an affliction by them, by these soothsayer, the dead in his grave, and the magician, and so on.
هل لاحظتم التقسيم الآن?
Do you now have an understanding of this tree that we have drawn?
الأمر الأول.
The first affair.
والتفريعات منهم.
And then the two things that branch off from it.
الأمر الثاني.
The second affair.
أهمية اتباع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The importance of following the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم.
ولزوم الاتباع له.
And to adhere in following him, adhering to following him.
وبما أننا تكلمنا في الأمر الأول وفرعنا وقسمنا.
أينه. That which we have mentioned with regard to the first affair that we have divided and we have separated it and we have made its portions.
لأن الدعوة إلى التوحيد.
Because the call to tawheed
والتحذير من الشرك
and warning from shirk
لا يكفي فيه الإجمال.
It is not sufficient just to speak about this in generalities.
دعوة الأنبياء إلى العقيدة دعوة تفصيلية وليست دعوة إجمالية. انتبهوا.
And because the da'wah of the prophets and the messengers was a da'wah of detail and precision, and it was not a da'wah of just generalities.
كل الأنبياء.
All of the prophets.
ولقد بعثنا في كل أمة الرسولا أن عبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت. تفصيل.
Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, we sent a messenger to every single nation, calling them to the worship of Allah and the abandonment of what? The abandonment of everything besides.
وهذه طريقة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And this was the path of the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وهذا منهاج النبوة.
And this is the methodology of the prophets in totality.
قل هذه سبيلي.
Say, this is my straight path.
أدعو إلى الله.
I call to Allah.
على بصيرة.
Upon certain knowledge.
أنا ومن اتبع.
Me and those who are following me.
فهل نحن أتباع للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟
Are we followers of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم؟
لابد أن تكون دعوة العقيدة تفصيلية.
No doubt, without any doubt whatsoever, the dawah of the Prophet is the dawah of detail and precision.
لأن بعض الناس يقول يا أيها الناس اعبدوا الله.
Some people say that they recite, O mankind, worship your Lord.
احذر الشرك.
And warn against shirk.
فيسمعه الإنسان ويقول ما شاء الله يدعو للتوحيد ويحذر من الشرك.
So when he says that we warn against shirk, then he says, Alhamdulillah, this one is a person of tawhid. It's because he warns against calls to tawhid and warns against shirk.
لكن هذا الذي يفعل هذا الفعل ويقول الذي يقول هذا القول.
And so the one who says this speech.
لو أتينا لننظر واقع تطبيقه العملي.
Rather, the issue is, let us look at the actual enacting of this affair.
فوجدته جالس عند القبر.
So, a person he
جالس عند القبر.
So he sits at the graveside.
ثم أتى بذبيحة.
So then someone comes and slaughters at the graveside.
ويريد يذبحها.
So he intends to slaughter this animal at the graveside.
وأنت واقف بجواره.
And you are standing next to it.
وقلت له.
And you see him. Oh, he says to him.
ما حكم التوحيد؟
Now he asks him, what's the ruling on tawhid?
واجب.
He says tawhid is واجب.
الذي يفعل الشرك.
And the one who commits this act of shirk.
كافر بالنار.
He is in the hellfire, unbeliever.
ماذا يفعل هذا؟
So what is this man doing?
هل يعرف التوحيد والشرك?
Does this man really know the one who's about to slaughter? Does he know exactly? Does he know what tawhid and shirk is? If he's about to do that, slaughter at the graveside?
من حيث الدعوة العامة يعرف أن الشرك لا يجوز وأن التوحيد طيب.
نعم. So this one who's, for example, the one who's slaughtering, the people, you know, they know in general tawhid, worship Allah alone, and shirk is to abandon the worship of anything besides.
لأنها إجمالية.
But he does not give up this. He doesn't know about this particular act because it's too general. So he continues.
ولو أردت أن تفصل معه.
However, if you give him detail with regard to this affair,
لعلم أن الذبح لغير الله شرك.
That he is aware of the fact that slaughtering to other than Allah it is shirk.
فماذا ينفعه وهو يقول لا إله إلا الله.
So how does he benefit with the kalima la ilaha illallah?
وهو يشرك بالله.
Whilst he is committing shirk with Allah with this act that he's about to commit.
الدعوة السلفية.
The dawah of Salafiyya.
دعوة تفصيلية.
Is a call which is detailed.
أهل الحديث, أهل الأثر, أهل السنة والجماعة, أتباع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, هذه دعوتهم.
The way of the people of hadith and the people of narrations and the people of sunnah and the jama'ah, they are the followers of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
We are a clear.
نحن على الوضوح. We are upon clarity.
هكذا.
Like this.
دعوتنا واضحة.
Our دعوة is clear, apparent.
هل أولئك يمارسون مع أتباعهم هذه الدعوة إلى التوحيد والتحذير من الشرك?
Those people who do these types of affairs and these things that they do, are they upon clarity with regard to the affair of tawhid and shirk?
أم دعوتهم إجمالية?
Or is their دعوة إجمالية, is it general? Is it just generalities without detail?
على المنبر يتكلم التوحيد.
Upon the pulpits they stand calling, claiming to call to tawhid.
الشرك.
And they warn against shirk.
هذا الخطيب هو نفس الخطيب.
نعم, this خطيب, this caller.
لو سألته ما هو الشرك?
If you ask him what is shirk?
هل الذي يفعل عند القبور كذا الأربعة أمور التي ذكرتها لكم?
If you say to him these affairs, what takes place at the graveside,
في الأقوال والأعمال والأفعال,
with regard to statements and actions and wealth,
هل تجوز?
Are these affairs that related to these matters that we have mentioned at the graveside, are they allowed?
أم سيدافع عن قومه?
That he defends the people of that affair.
هذا الذي يتكلم
then,
عن الشرك ويحذر منه بالإجمال.
Now, and this one who warns against polytheism or shirk in generalities.
لو سألت أسئلة تفصيلية.
If you to ask him a question in detail.
عما يقع فيه قومه.
That which the people are falling into.
أو الناس الذين حوله.
And the people that are around him.
من الشركيات.
From the affairs of shirk that they are upon.
هل هو يمارس هذا التحذير بالتفصيل؟
That does he now portray and publicize that affair of shirk in detail as is required?
هذه دعوة الأنبياء. التفصيل.
So this affair of giving detail, making tafsir, is the da'wah of the prophets.
Second. الأمر الثاني.
So this affair done. Second affair.
اتباع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Following the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
ثم نأتي لاتباع السنة.
So there comes thereafter following of the sunnah.
في ممارساتنا الشيخ وصل. Yes, الشيخ انتخب. بما أن شيخنا أتى ليس لي أن أتكلم بنيله.
So since the Shaykh has arrived, it is not upon me to continue speaking whilst the Shaykh is present.
فأيضا دعوتنا في السنة تفصيلية.
So our da'wah is a da'wah of detail.
وفي المنهج تفصيلية.
Our manhaj is a manhaj of detail.
وفي العبادات تفصيلية.
Our worship is in detail.
وفي الأخلاق والسلوك.
In manners and etiquette, it is detailed.
وفي تحذيرنا من الشركيات والبدعيات والمناهج المخالفة تفصيل.
And likewise in our warning against shirk, against bid'ah, and against the opposition to the sunnah, likewise all of it in detail.
حتى المبتدع لو قلت له.
Likewise even if they're innovators, they speak.
اترك البدعة.
من باب هذا المتحف. لا والله بيك وصلنا 10 وربع.
لا كلام.
وجزاك الله خيرا.
كيف حالكم شيخ؟
يا أهلا وسهلا.
خليجة كلهم الذي سمعوا
قومين. So just to conclude, our Sheikh Muhammad bin Ramzan. Sheikh Muhammad bin Ramzan mentioned that which I've mentioned with regard to the four affairs regarding Tawheed and Shirk and so on, that this is your homework. You have to draw the tree. That's Hala? That's Shirk. No. And the Sheikh said, with regard to your homework, by the time that he has finished his lesson here, meaning. He said, if you do not complete your homework by the time Sheikh Muhammad bin Ramzan has finished his das, which will be later or tomorrow, then he said, I will excuse myself from even giving you a lecture. So do not, as our Sheikh Saleh Hafidhullah mentioned, don't give him an excuse to not give you a das. Right.
بسم الله نبدأ.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. Today we have with us our Sheikh Saleh bin Sa'ad al-Suhaymi حفظه الله تعالى, from the مشايخ and the علماء of this blessed city of Medina. The Sheikh for many decades has been well known for his dissemination of the correct Islamic knowledge, the aqidah, the manhaj in tafsir, as Sheikh Muhammad bin Ramzan mentioned. For many years he's a teacher also in the harem itself, that he delivers durus in that place, in the harem, in the Masjid al-Nabawi. And likewise for many years he has been known to us, to the brothers in the West, and of course more so probably to the people of this land and the lands of the Arab. And that he's been known for many years for the dissemination of the Salafi manhaj and the Salafi aqidah, and he has many praises for the many recommendations and commendations from many of the scholars. From them is the Sheikh and the scholar Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Baz rahimahullah ta'ala, amongst many others. So without further ado, I will pass it to our Sheikh, Sheikh Salih al-Sahimi, to begin his dars on the topic of the of directional guidance upon the Salafi manhaj. Barakallahu feekum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أحيي الإخوة وأسأل الله أن يتقبل منا ومنهم وأن يجعل أعمالنا وإياهم خالصة لوجهه وأن يثبتنا وإياهم على الحق إلى أن نلقاه.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد الشيخ حفظه الله الشيخ صالح بن سعد السحيمي حفظه الله he began by first and foremost sending the salam asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect those amongst us and have mercy on each and every one of us and then he started with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we praise him we seek his aid and forgiveness from the evil of ourselves and from our evil actions. Whoever Allah guides, there is none to misguide. And whoever Allah misguides, there is none that can guide. And then he said, I testify that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last and final messenger sent to mankind, and likewise may the peace and blessings be upon him, his family, and likewise the companions altogether. And then the Shaykh and said, after which follows, we would like to welcome all of you, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this from us, making it for يعني, seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May we be upon thabat, firmness upon the truth until we meet him.
أيها الإخوة بالله قبل أن أبدأ هذه الكلمة أود أن ننبه الإخوة إلى أمر يعني يتعلق بالهاتف وجعل القرآن منبها فيه فالعلماء في المجمع الفقهي الإسلامي قد اتخذوا قرارا بمنع ذلك وأن في ذلك امتهانا للقرآن فلا ينبغي أن يجعل ذكر الله ولا القرآن ولا الأحاديث ولا السنة أجراسا أو يعني علامات لمنبهات الهاتف لأن ذلك يؤدي للامتهان فربما سمع من داخل دورات المياه ونحو ذلك ولذلك أنا كنت أتمنى أن يتخذ هذا القرار فاتخذه المشايخ وفقهم الله
Shaykh Abdullah said, I'd just like to mention some words of advice before we enter our topic, and that is with regards yani, what some of the scholars have agreed with regards the basically the sounds that the ringtone that is used. Yani, some people use the Quran or they use a hadith or they use yani, some the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as ringtones, and the scholars have already spoken about this, saying that this is not allowed because this is actually yani, dishonoring the Quran, and it could be that one may be in the toilet and the ringtone goes off, and this is something which is not befitting.
بعد هذا إخوتي وأحبتي في الله فكلمتي حول موضوع مهم لا بد لنا من العناية به وهي توجيهات حول أهمية الثبات على المنهج السلفي الحق قولا وعملا واعتقادا وإذ أن المسلمين عامة وأهل السنة خاصة أصحاب المنهج الحق يمرون بأمور تحتاج إلى شيء من اليقظة والفطنة والتنبؤ حتى لا ينخدع المسلمون وأهل السنة خاصة ببعض الشعارات التي تنطلق هنا وهناك، والتي بدأ أعداء الإسلام وأعداء السنة يكيلون أو يخططون لإيذاء أهل الحق ومضايقتهم وجرهم إلى بعض الفتن، فإن لم يستجيبوا وإلا ناصبوهم العداء. وهذا أمر يتطلب منا اليقظة والفطنة والتنبه، وأن نكون نثبت على الحق أينما كنا وحيثما كنا، مهما كلفنا ذلك. نعم.
And the Shaykh Abu Dhullah, he said that we want to talk about, and he wants to enter the main topic, and that is the topic which is so important in our lives, and it is something which is important with regards to our objectives and what direction we go and what direction we follow, and that is the importance of holding on to this blessed path, this blessed manhaj. The manhaj which is true by our saying, and by our actions as well as our sayings as well as our belief, holding on to this masjid in these three, such that in these times we know the Muslims in general and Ahl Sunnah specifically, the people of Haq, that they need to be awake, they need to be aware of the claims and the plots and plans of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the enemies of Islam and Sunnah, who are no doubt planning and plotting against Ahlul Haqq, against the people of truth, narrowing the paths against them to the extent that they're causing fitan, trials and tribulations towards them, and if they do not listen to them, then indeed there will be enemies towards them. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be upon firmness upon the truth.
وقد اجتمع كافة أهل الشر لتنفيذ هذا المخطط، يريدون أن يطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم والله متم نوره ولو كره الكافرون، وعلى رأسهم دول الكفر على اختلاف توجهاتها، والرافضة على اختلاف مشاربها، وأهل التصوف على اختلاف نحلهم، والخوارج على اختلاف طوائفهم، والعلمانيون على اختلاف مخططاتهم، وطلاب الحكم والمناصب والمرتزقة والمصطادون في الماء العكر، كل هؤلاء يجتمعون ويخططون لإطفاء هذا النور، ويأبى الله إلا أن يتم نوره ولو كره الكافرون ولو كره المشركون.
And the Shaykh Abu Dhullah, he said, no doubt many, the people of Shar, they have gathered together, many of them, they have gathered together in order to put out the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the light of guidance, and upon the heads of them are the disbelieving countries, upon their different ways and different methodologies they go by, and likewise the Rafida, the extreme sect amongst the Shia, and likewise the people of Tasawwuf, the Sufis, and their different types and groups amongst them, and the Khawarij and the different types and groups amongst them, and likewise the secularists, and likewise the people who seek position and status amongst the community, and all of them you find them going around in murky waters trying to plot and plan against the Muslims gathering together to put out the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's light, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to keep the light open even if the disbelievers dislike it.
وَإِذَا أَرَدْتُمْ أَعْظَمَ عَلَامَةٍ لِهَذَا الْمُخَطَّطِ فَانْظُرُوا إِلَى مَوَاقِفِهِمْ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْبِلَادِ الْمَمْلَكَةَ الْعَرَبِيَةَ السَّعُودِيَةَ وَعُلَمَائِهَا وَوُلَاةِ أَمْرِهَا، لأنهم يعلمون أنها هي التي تقوم على التوحيد وعلى المنهج الحق، فلذلك قد يمتحن الناس بموقفه من هذه البلاد وموقفه من علماء هذه البلاد وموقفه من ولاة أمر هذه البلاد المباركة التي وفقها الله عز وجل لخدمة الحرمين الشريفين. وهؤلاء ما فتئوا، أعني أعداء السنة، أعداء الإسلام وأعداء السنة، ما فتئوا يكيلون التهم والشائعات والأباطيل والكذب والدجل والنفاق الذي يريدون أن يروجوا فيه بضاعتهم، ولكن الله غالب على أمره، ولكن الله ناصر دينه ومعلن كلمته ولو اجتمع علينا من بأخطارها.
And the Shaykh Abidullah, he said, so look at their plots and plans, look at their mawaqif, yani the positions that they hold regarding this country. For example, this country which is established upon Tawheed and the correct methodology. Look at their position regarding this country. Indeed, you find them testing the people regarding this country. And you find them trying to bring about lies, and they use hypocrisy, they use lies, and they use slanders. And however, you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is yani his command, no doubt his command is what goes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives victory to his deen, and he is the one who brings about the truth, yani gathers the truth upon one word. Now,
فبالإضافة إلى تلك الفتن التي تعصف بالعالم الإسلامي ويغذيها تغذيها تلك الجهات التي أشرت إليها في بداية الدرس، فإن ثمة شائعات أخرى تهدف إلى تشويه سمعة هذه البلاد. انظروا إلى ما يصدر هذه الأيام من بعض البلاد التي جئتم منها ومن بلد الرافضة إيران حول ما يتعلق بزمزم، وما يشاع من أنها قد اختلطت بماء المجاري. أنا أذكر هذا الكلام لأنه نشر في صحف لندن وفي صحف طهران، فلنكن على حذر ولا ننخدع بمثل هذه النشرات إذا رأيناها. فالأعداء الإسلام هم أصحاب الشائعات دائما، والله عز وجل يقول: يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن جاءكم فاسق فتبينوا أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة فتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين. فزمزم ولله الحمد محفوظة بحفظ هذا الدين، ما حفظ هذا الدين، محفوظة ما حفظ هذا الدين بمائها النقي والعناية بها ونظافتها وبذل كل غال ونفيس من أجل تنقيتها، وهي نقية أصلا، لكن من أجل الحفاظ عليها، والتي قال فيها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما زمزم لما شرب لا، وقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنه طعام طعم وشفاء سقم. وكان السلف ينقلونه من مكان إلى مكان، فإنهم عندما عجزوا عن المواجهة ليصرفوا المسلمين عن دينهم أخذوا يشككون في بعض مسائل الدين وفي بعض أمور الدين التي يعني يعنى بها المسلمون مثل هذه القضية. فأخذ الآن هذه الأيام في حملة، هناك حملة شعواء على زمزم، وأنها قد اختلطت بمياه قذرة، وأنها ليست نقية وما إلى ذلك. ولكن على كل حال، المسلم لا يجب أن يكون فاطنا ويقظا تجاه هذه الشائعات، فلا يلتفت إليها. ونبه بعض العوام الذين قد ينخدعون إذا قرأوا مثل هذه الصحف وتلك الشائعات فيصدقون، وطمئنوهم أن زمزم في تمام الحفظ والصيانة ولله الحمد والمنة، وبعيدة عن كل مؤثر. وقد أثبت حتى بعض أعداء الإسلام من المنصفين من الأطباء وغيرهم وأصحاب الخبرة في المياه أن هذا أنقى ماء على وجه الأرض ولله الحمد والمنة، والحق ما شهدت به الأعداء. نعم.
Then the Shaykh Hafidhullah, he said, adding to what we've just mentioned regarding these trials and tribulations that these enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala try to spread, we know now recently we have heard these claims that some of the people of misguidance, the enemies of Allah, have tried to bring against this country in specific terms with regards the issue of Zamzam water. That Zamzam water, which we know is pure, is clean, but we find out that now they, through their newspapers and through the media, whether it be in the countries in the West or whether it be in Tehran, in Iran, we find them spreading that this Zamzam water is actually mixed with sewage water and water that is not clean and water that is basically impure. So as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, in ja'akum fasiqun binaba'in, if a sinner comes to you with a piece of news, fatabayyanu, then you should clarify that piece of news. You should clarify. Otherwise, you will be like the individual who claimed something about somebody wrongly, and in the end, you will regret that. In the end, you will regret that. So, Zamzam is mahfud. It is protected. And it is protected just as this deen is protected. So long as this deen is protected, Zamzam is protected. Because this country gives no doubt, inayah, care for looking after the cleanliness of Zamzam. And we know that the Messenger spoke about Zamzam, saying that Zamzam lima shuriba lahu. Zamzam, we drink it, why? For the reason why we drink it for. For a particular reason, for a supplication, for a reason to better ourselves. And that is signifying this supplication. And likewise, Zamzam, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, it quenches one's thirst, just as food quenches hunger. Or just as, it is like food. It's enough for you to drink it and you would be quenched and suffice in terms of your hunger. And not only that, it is shifa, it is a cure it's a cure for the people. So here we have clear ahadith regarding the status of Zamzam, and that it is no doubt from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is blessed. And so when these enemies of Allah fell short in their claims against the people of Islam, they went on to claim against, they went on to look at specific details in this deen, trying to say that Zamzam is not clean and impure, and in order to bring some doubts about this deen. So the Muslim in this time should be aware of these plots and plans. And we also would like to clarify to the to some of the awam, the general folk, that when they come to read some of the newspapers regarding this affair, then they should know for sure that this is only a plot and plan against Islam. And we know no doubt that even some of the disbelieving people who are just in this regard, they themselves have said that Zamzam is pure and is clean, and they testify to this. So there are some people who are just, who testify to its cleanliness and said that it is one of the best waters that is available. Now,
ومن الحملات التي يتعرض لها أهل الحق في هذه الأيام حملة عباد القبور والأضرحة في كل مكان حتى في داخل بعض بلاد المسلمين، فإنهم يشنون حملة على من ينهج المنهج السلفي ومن يسير على هدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه بدعوى أنهم يحذرون من التعلق بالقبور، وهذا حق يجب القيام به، فإن عباد القبور الذين فتنهم إبليس فتعلقوا بالقبور من دون الله يسألونها قضاء الحاجات وكشف الكربات وإزالة الملمات، أيضا مشاركون مشاركة مباشرة، وبعضهم من بلاد المسلمين في الحملة الشعواء على من يسير على المنهج السلفي وعلى من يهتدي بهدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، لا سيما أهل هذه البلاد وعلماؤها ومن يسير على هذا الدرب. والواجب علينا أن نتوخى الحذر وأن نكون على بينة من أمرنا، وما نقم منهم إلا أن يؤمنوا بالله العزيز الحميد. ومعلوم أن أعداء السنة في كل وقت وفي كل زمان وفي كل زمان وفي كل مكان لن يهدأ لهم بال طالما كانت راية السنة مرفوعة. ولكن مع هذا ولله الحمد والمنة فالحق يعلو ولا يعلى والإسلام يعلو ولا يعلى، فعلينا أن نتمسك به وأن نتمسك بالسنة وأن نعض عليها بالنواجذ مهما قل أتباعها ومعتنقوها ومهما كثر أصحاب الشر فإن البقاء للحق. فأما الزبد فيذهب جفاء وأما ما ينفع الناس فيمكث في الأرض.
فإن الشيخ حفظه الله mentioned that these حملات يعني these people gather together in order to cause doubt about Islam. No doubt they gather together to bring down the people of truth. They gather together those who gather together against the people of Haq by going to the graves, by aiding the people who go to the graves and those who commit shirk at the graves, calling upon the dead. Even if you find that in some of the Muslim countries, you find them aiding these people who go to the graves, aiding them in order to bring about that confusion and bring about that destruction of Al-Islam in its totality and entirety. So we find Iblis and his progeny and his followers, they try their utmost in order to call the people to these type of deviations. So that you find people that Iblis and his progeny have deviated. You find those people going to these graves seeking nearness, and also seeking that the deceased help them in their difficulties and help them through their complaints and so on. So they are calling upon other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their actions, doing this by the aid of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, we find no doubt the people of Haqq in the Islamic countries, no doubt the ulama, for example, first and foremost, they are the ones who are upright and facing these doubts by clarifying them and by refuting them. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he mentioned that these misguided individuals, what is it that they want except that, why is it that they busy themselves against Ahlul Islam? The only reason why is because we believe in Allah, and this is the main reason that we believe in Allah, who is the Almighty, the one who's all praised. This is the reason why they concentrate on us and concentrate on the believers. So no doubt, so long as Islam is present, so long as Islam, the Sunnah is present and it is going forward, they will try their utmost to bring it down. They will try their utmost to gather together and use these different types of means and ways, whether it be shirk or other than that, in order to cause confusion and cause deviation. So upon us is to hold on to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and al-haq, the truth, no doubt will prevail and it will be uppermost, and other than that will not be above it. So we must bite onto this path, bite onto the sunnah with our molar teeth, and it doesn't matter how much the deviation is, how many people that are deviant, doesn't matter if there are many. Indeed, the people of truth will always remain and the haq will always remain. And as is mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as for the foam, the scum, the foam of the sea, then you find it's in the end it will disappear. You see, the froth of the sea, it will disappear. But that which is for Allah will remain.
والواجب للتصدي على إلى للتصدي لتلك الحملات الجائرة التي لن يفلحوا فيها بإذن الله تبارك وتعالى، الواجب علينا نحن المسلمين في كل مكان أن نجتهد في مقاومة تلك التيارات الخطيرة، وذلك بذكر بعض الخطوات التي لا بد من سلوكها والقيام بها للثبات على هذا المنهج الحق. فأولها تقوى الله عز وجل والاستقامة على طاعته. ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب. ومن يتق الله يكفر عنه سيئاته ويعظم له أجرا. والتقوى كما قال التابعي الجليل طلق ابن حبيب أن تعمل بطاعة الله على نور من الله تبتغي ثواب الله، وأن تبتعد عن معاصي الله تخاف عقاب الله على نور من الله تخاف عقاب الله. هذه هي حقيقة التقوى، فينبغي لنا أن نجتهد فيها قبل كل شيء.
And the Shaykh Abdullah then said that what is obligatory upon us, yani in our path, when we face these particular obstacles and these difficulties and these slogans and claims and these plots and plans, what's upon us? Except that we should hold on to certain points in this blessed path that we are going to mention. And the first of them is that we have taqwa of Allah, that we have piety of Allah. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. And whoever fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will make a way out for that person. And likewise, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ. And whoever fears Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will expiate his sins. نعم. And then in the next verse he said, نعم, that was the verse he mentioned. And then he said that Talq ibn Habib, one of the tabi'een, he'd mentioned an explanation of what taqwa is. He said that taqwa is that you do an act of obedience upon a light from Allah, yani guidance from Allah, yani seeking His reward. And that you keep away from disobedience to Allah, upon a light from Allah, fearing His punishment. This is the reality of taqwa.
الأمر الثاني أو مما ينبغي التنبه له حتى تتحقق هذه التقوى أن تكون مبنية على العلم والتعلم والفقه في دين الله سبحانه وتعالى، لأن العلم هو السلاح العظيم الذي يتصدى به المسلمون لمقاومة أعداء الدين وأعداء السنة. به يعرف المسلم كيف يعبد ربه، وبه ينال الأجر العظيم عند الله عز وجل، وبه يرد على الشبه التي تعرض له، وبه لا يستطيع أعداء الإسلام التأثير عليه، وبه يسير على نور من الله سبحانه وتعالى، وبه يسلك طريق الجنة، وبه يفيد إخوانه المسلمين ويكون مشعل هداية لهم، وبه يسعد في دنياه وفي أخرى.
Then the Shaykh Hafidhullah, he continued by saying, and what is important thereafter, yani such that the taqwa, such that piety can be in its true sense, is that the person is upon the knowledge of the correct knowledge. He learns the correct knowledge and the correct understanding, and he uses it as a weapon, a great weapon against the enemies of Allah, those who try to harm the Muslims. So he prepares himself with the Sunnah, knowing the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, and he knows thereafter how to worship Allah correctly, and he uses that knowledge in order to refute and negate those shubuhat, those doubts that the enemies of Allah try to use, so such that the enemies of Allah will not be able to harm the Muslims, because that individual upon ilm, upon correct knowledge, he's an individual who goes and he goes on that path upon the light of Allah, and he is the one who is on the path of paradise, and he's the one who aids his brothers amongst the Muslims. He aids his brothers with that knowledge, and likewise he is the one who lights the path for those other than himself. He lights the path with what? With knowledge. And in this and for him it's success for him in this life and the hereafter.
ومن مقومات ذلك الإخلاص لله وحده، والإخلاص عمل قلبي لا يدركه إلا أهل البصيرة والعلم. قال الله عز وجل: وابتغ فيما آتاك الله الدار الآخرة. قال تعالى: فاعبد الله مخلصا له الدين. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنما الأعمال بالنيات، وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى. ولما سأل أبو هريرة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من أسعد الناس بشفاعتك يا رسول الله؟ قال: من قال لا إله إلا الله خالصا من قلبه. والنصوص في هذا كثيرة.
Then the Shaykh Abidullah continued by saying that what will help that particular individual who's already upon piety and knowledge is that he has, first and foremost, ikhlas, yani sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is an action of the heart. So the people cannot actually see that sincerity in that individual. People cannot see that. So it is a case where it is a matter of the heart that the person must have. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, He mentioned that with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, then seek with it the face of Allah. Yani seek with it, the dar al-akhirah, yani the hereafter. Seek with it the hereafter. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and worship Allah sincerely in His religion. And likewise the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed actions are in accordance with one's intention. And likewise the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, where he asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are the most content with regards the shafa'ah, the intercession on the Day of Judgment. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the end of that hadith, he said to him, أَسْعَدُ النَّاسِ, the most content people, بِشَفَاعَتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, with regards my intercession on the Day of Judgment, مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَى اللَّهِ, whoever says لَا إِلَى اللَّهِ sincerely from his heart, خَالِصًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ.
ومن مقومات ذلك العناية بالسنة والتي هي سفينة نوح، كما قال الإمام مالك رحمه الله: السنة سفينة نوح، فمن تمسك بها نجا، ومن تركها هلك وغرق. فعليك بالسنة فأمرها على نفسك، فمن أمر السنة على نفسه سعد في دنياه وأخرى. ولزوم السنة إنما يكون بالثبات عليها والذب عنها والتمسك بها والعض عليها بالنواجذ مهما كان المخالفون. عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي، تمسكوا بها وعضوا عليها بالنواجذ.
And that which will aid likewise the individual on this blessed path is that they take care in following the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as Imam Malik rahimahullah, he said that the sunnah is like the ark of Noah, yani the ark of Nuh alayhi salam. Whoever boards it is saved, and whoever boards it likewise, he is not only saved but he is not drowned and he doesn't perish. So whoever takes upon himself to follow the sunnah, and likewise, then no doubt he will be from the most content of the people in this life and in the hereafter. And from those, and thereafter the person who truly is upon the sunnah, he's the one who actually is upon the thabat on the sunnah. He's the one who is precisely firmly upon the sunnah, such that he holds onto it with his molar teeth. Just like the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the Prophet said, عليكم بسنتي, on you is to follow my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided caliphs. من بعدي, those who came after me. عضوا عليها, and bite onto that with the molar teeth.
ومن ذلك أيضا من تلك المقومات الجد والاجتهاد في طلب الدليل والوقوف عنده ولو خالفه الأكثرون. فطلب الدليل والعمل به والتمسك به والجد والاجتهاد في الوقوف عند النصوص الشرعية خير ما يحفظ الله به العبد من الزلل بإذنه تعالى.
Then the Shaykh Abidu Allah, he said, from it as well, from those things that will help that slave of Allah and upon this blessed path, is that they strive their utmost and they become serious in studying and benefiting in seeking a dalil, yani seeking that which is yani considered to be proof. They do their utmost and they fulfill that, or they follow up that with righteous actions, and they hold on to that with yani firmness, being upright upon that, such that when the truth comes to them, that they follow it. They stop with the truth, yani they don't go beyond that, and they accept that. And this is from the best thing that the abd, the slave of Allah, can hold on to in order to be protected from deviation and from falling yani away from the truth.
ومن تلك المقومات أيضا الجد والاجتهاد في العبادة فرائضها ونوافلها. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما يرويه عن الله جل وعلا: وما تقرب إلي عبدي بشيء أحب إلي مما افترضته عليه، ولا يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل حتى أحبه، فإذا أحببته كنت سمعه الذي يسمع به، وبصره الذي يبصر به، ويده التي يبطش بها، ورجله التي يمشي بها، ولئن سألني لأعطينه، ولئن استعاذني لأعيذنه. فالمسلم يجعل له قسطا من الورد والعبادة في يومه وليلته، وخصوصا النوافل، فيلجأ إلى الله عز وجل، ولا سيما آخر الليل يلجأ إلى الله بالدعاء عندما ينزل ربنا إلى السماء الدنيا، فحين يبقى الثلث الأخير من الليل فينادي عباده: من يسألني فأعطيه، من يستغفرني فأغفر له، من يدعوني فأستجيب له، فإنه قمن أن يستجاب له في مثل تلك الأوقات المباركة، كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون وبالأسحار هم يستغفرون.
And the Shaykh Abdullah, he said, from those areas that will aid the person yani on this blessed path yani against the deviation of people or the enemies of Allah, is that the person is serious and he strives his utmost to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani to increase in that worship, to fulfill the obligatory duties, and to add to that the nawafil, yani those extra duties, extra prayers, extra duties that are legislated. As in the hadith Qudsi, where the Prophet said that Allah said that indeed my slave doesn't come closer to me with something more beloved than the extra yani duties that are legislated, the extra duties, the nawafil. There isn't anything that the slave comes close to Allah than that. After the obligatory duties, that the person comes closer to Allah with that. And when that slave comes close to Allah with that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that slave. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that slave, it becomes the scene which he hears. And it becomes the scene which he sees and his hearing which he hears. And likewise, yani, where the places towards where he walks, then he walks to that which is good. And that which he grasps with his hands, he grasps that which is good. And when he asks of me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to him. And when he seeks refuge, yani, from Allah, when he seeks refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from something that is going to harm him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him that refuge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects him. And so this is the hadith that is mentioned, authentic narration. So the Muslim first and foremost must strive in his utmost in order to protect themselves. So in the day and night, the person should have some extra worship that they do in the day as well as the night, extra remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they prepare for themselves in the day and the night, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last third part of the night, calling upon Allah. For indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he calls and he says, who is there that is asking of me that I may give him? Who is there that is seeking my forgiveness that I may forgive him? So as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned that these are the qualities of these individuals, that they would yani stand up in the night, yani calling upon their Lord, and likewise seeking forgiveness in the times of the Ashab. Yani, in that suhoor time, in that last fired part of the night, they are seeking forgiveness, they are praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are times where the person is most likely to be heard, or most likely to be, sorry, accepted, yani from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
ومن المقومات أيضا الجد والاجتهاد في توثيق الروابط بيننا، والجد والاجتهاد في محبة أهل المنهج الحق بعضهم بعضا، وهذا يتطلب أمورا، منها كما تقدم لزوم الكتاب والسنة والاعتصام بهما، ومنها عدم الجريان خلف الشائعات التي تشاع هنا وهناك، ومنها معالجة الأخطاء بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة مع الثبات على الحق وعدم الذوبان بين أهل الباطل، ومنها الجد والاجتهاد في توضيح الحق لطالبه ولمن يريده، وعدم تكبير أو تضخيم الخلاف، لا سيما أنه جل من لا يسهو من الخطأ، والثبات على الحق وعدم الانخداع ببدعة الموازنات التي يدعو إليها بعض المجمعين والمخلطين، والرفق بإخواننا وبيان الحق لهم بدليله، على أن لا يفهم هذا بأنه تنازل عن الحق. فأهم نقطة في هذا الباب الثبات على الحق مهما كان المخالفون. نعم.
Those affairs that will aid you, inshaAllah, to be upon strength and uprightness, is that you strive your utmost to bring about those ties of brotherhood, those ties of love between you. And that is between the Ahl al-Haq. Between the Ahl al-Haq. And this requires certain conditions, or requires certain matters that are laid out to clarify this. First and foremost, this closeness of ties amongst the Al-Haq is built upon first and foremost sticking onto the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and secondly, not to run towards those claims that the people and slogans that the people try to bring from the enemies of Allah, not to yani go towards them in order to yani to harm you there. Thirdly, also to rectify those errors with wisdom. There isn't anyone except that they err, except that they make mistakes. However, with wisdom we can rectify the manners correctly, and that requires no doubt that the person is upon thabat, yani is upon firmness upon the truth, and this doesn't mean that they sway towards the people of batil, of futility and deviation. It doesn't mean that, but to rectify the affairs of errors with wisdom. Fourthly, to clarify the haq to the one who seeks it in a good way, with gentleness and in a good way. And fifthly, to not with those areas of opposition, of differences which are allowed, those khilafat, those areas not to basically magnify them greater than what they are. Not to magnify them greater than what they are. And this is the thabat. This is what requires us to be, which will allow us to be upon the haq, to be firmly upon the truth. Al-khilafat, Shaykh, li dhakartum, adam tafkhim al-khilafat. Taqsud al-khilafat
al-khilafat fi allati la tasil li darajat al-ibtida'.
Naam.
Wa hatta man badara minhu shay'un yumkin an yutadarak wa yu'allam wa yufaqqah fi deen Allah wa yubayyan lahu al-haq.
Naam. So just to clarify that, because that's a sensitive area, and we didn't want any confusion there. And alhamdulillah, as we mentioned, that these khilafat are not those khilafat at the level of innovation. There are the khilafat that are present. Yani the khilafat, that are, each one has its proof. These are the ones you don't go around try to magnify these differences amongst the people. Yani magnify the difference amongst the scholars regarding this. But rather, these are affairs that each and every one brings their proof regarding. So the Shaykh is not talking about the khilafat of innovation. Not talking about that. Talking about the khilafat that are present, yani, in other subsidiary issues. Na'am. So the Shaykh continued by saying that we must not be deceived. We must not be deceived by innovation and by that innovation of muazanat. Yani, those who carry this claim and slogan that there is yani good and bad with everybody. So they mention the good as well as they mention the bad. They try to claim that they are upon the middle course. We don't fall into that deception where people try to deceive others regarding this affair. And rather we call the people, we're calling them to follow the truth upon its correct path with gentleness, with kindness, with softness. And this doesn't mean and should not mean that we are يعني, compromising the truth.
لعل يوضح ذلك أكثر فأقول إنه قد أن البعض من الناس إذا بدر من أخيه خطأ وقد يكون خطأ غير واضح وقد يكون إلزاما وقد يكون وهما وقد يكون خطأ قابلا للإصلاح وقد يكون لا علاقة له ب قد يكون تصورا خاطئا من المنتقد فيتسرع بإصدار الأحكام عليه. هذه مسألة خطيرة. ففي الوقت الذي نحذر فيه من الموازنات وهي تلميع أهل البدع أو الثناء عليهم أو تمجيدهم أو تركهم يعيثون في الأرض فسادا أو تمكينهم من اختراق صفوفنا، هذا كله مرفوض. لكن في الوقت نفسه لا نتسرع في الأحكام على إخواننا بأن نحكم عليهم يعني أنهم ليسوا على المنهج الحق بمجرد خطأ وقعوا فيه أو بمجرد مسألة قابلة للعلاج فنتركهم حتى يحتضنهم أعداء الإسلام وأعداء السنة. هذا الذي أقصد.
Then the Shaykh said, maybe I'll clarify further such that we can يعني, give you a correct understanding in this affair and that the people follow the correct path in this affair. And that is that there may be a mukhalafa, يعني, an opposition that somebody brings. But when the individual corrects that opposition, he has to be clear upon his correction. He must, yeah, and maybe it is a statement that the individual said that is wrong, or maybe it could be wrong, or it could be a situation where yani it is not a clear matter that needs further clarification, or maybe it's a situation where there is some islah, there is some rectification that can be brought about, such that the rectification is complete, or maybe that the person who's correcting, in fact, his outlook upon this mistake is an outlook which is wrong in the first place. So this matter is dangerous indeed. And this doesn't mean that we don't correct those errors, rather, yeah, or that we allow yani, the people of innovation, that we allow them to be exonerated or praised and honored, such that we bring them upon our ranks. It doesn't mean that. But what we are saying is that we should not rush to perform certain things, like for example so and so is not upon the methodology and so on and so forth, but rather we try to rectify the affairs in the first instance to try to bring about the cure, the ilaj, that cure, such that those individuals who are sincere, they are not left to the enemies of Allah upon their deviance.
وعلاج ذلك هو الرجوع إلى أهل العلم، إلى العلماء الربانيين السائرين على هدي السلف الصالح والسائرين على السنة والثابتون عليها الثابتين عليها الذين لا تأخذهم بالله لومة لائم والذين يبينون الحق بدليله مع الحكمة ومع اللطف ومع اللين ومع الرفق بإخوانهم في كل مكان حتى لا يظلموا ولا يفتروا ولا يعني يقولوا إخوانهم ما لم يقولوا ولا يلزموهم بما لا يلزمهم ولا يحملوا كلامهم ما لا يحتمل. فهذا أمر لأن نسمع أنه حتى بعض المبتدئين في طلب العلم يخوضون في أمور لا يحسنونها وبالتالي يصدرون الأحكام على إخوانهم ولا يرجعون للعلماء الكبار الذين يوضحون لهم هذه المسائل فينتج عن ذلك صراع وشقاق وخلاف واختلاف وإفراح لأعداء الإسلام وأعداء السنة. فعلاج ذلك هو الرجوع إلى الكتاب والسنة ورجوع العلماء الذين يعالجون هذه الأمور عدم التسرع في إصدار الأحكام على الآخرين الجد والاجتهاد في رأب الصدع وجمع الصف على هذه الكتاب والسنة بيان الحق بدليله للناس بيان الخطأ نصيحة المخطئ دون تشهير في بداية الأمر. فإذا انضم إلى المبتدعة عندها يصبح قد خرج عن الجادة لكن في بداية الأمر لا نتسرع في أن نحكم عليه أو أن نأخذ كل كلام يأتينا مسلما دون تمحيص ودون تحقيق ودون إرجاع إلى منهج السلف. وكتب السلف زاخرة ببيان ما يجب سلوكه حيال هذه المسائل حتى يكونوا على المنهج الحق بإذن الله.
And the Shaykh Abidu Allah, he said, that which will aid us upon that is to return to the people of knowledge, the people of guidance. And we do not rush yani in our rulings regarding individuals. We don't rush that to that. Yani we follow the path of the pious predecessors, the ulama of guidance, the ulama who are upon this path, those who are thabiteen alayha, who are firmly rooted upon it, those who clarify the haq with it, with its dalil. So first and foremost, we must try to rectify the affairs with this way. Na'am, with kindness, with gentleness, yani with softness, trying to bring about rectification, not to yani end up harming or oppressing or accusing or claiming somebody said when they didn't say. Na'am, rather, we first and foremost be careful in these affairs and also we don't yani say that this the intent behind such and such saying is such and such which is actually in opposition to what is actually clarified. So we have to be careful in this matter. Even some of the yani beginners in this affair, they enter this affair without actually returning to the elder scholars amongst themselves, amongst the, yani the ummah, and they in the end they enter upon these affairs and cause differences and cause splitting amongst the people, and this will only give happiness, bring about happiness to the enemies of Allah, and will not bring about that correct cure. But rather the correct cure is to return the affairs to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and not rush in performing rulings against other individuals, but rather we do strive our utmost to bring about the haq without rushing in it. So first and foremost, in the initial affairs where an individual deviates, this is what the Shaykh is referring to, then we don't bring about the affair straight away out into the open. In the beginning, we try to bring about some form of rectification, some form of tahqiq, where we actually try our best to make sure that the affair is as it is, that the opposition is there, and going back to the people of knowledge, going back to the books of the Salaf, the books of the pious predecessors. And if that individual in the end is not upon this blessed path and doesn't want to accept, then they are from the people of misguidance in the end. But at least you tried your best not to rush and to perform rulings in the initial sense. You tried your best for rectification.
وختاما يعني أقول للإخوة إن المخرج من هذا كله هو الاشتغال بالعلم والتعلم والفقه في الدين وتحقيق التوحيد والعبادة وعدم ترك فراغ يستغله أو ينفذ منه الشيطان وترتيب الوقت وتنظيمه والجد والاجتهاد في لقاء العلماء الربانيين وكذلك إشغال أنفسنا بما يعود علينا في الآخرة في الدنيا والآخرة من خير من العلم والتعلم والفقه في الدين والعبادة وتحقيق التوحيد قبل ذلك فالمسلم ليس في وقته فراغ يستطيع أن يسخر كل وقته عبادة لله سبحانه وتعالى حتى يعني اللقمة يضعها في امرأته تتحول إلى عبادة إذا قصد بها وجه الله عز وجل وسد حاجة أهله وإعفافهم بل وحتى يعني ما يكون بين المرء وزوجه إذا قصد به البعد عن الحرام والعفة والتعفف عن الحرام فإنه يثاب على ذلك بإذن الله المهم أن لا يكون في وقت المسلم فراغ يدخل منه الشيطان ويدخل منه أعداء الإسلام ويدخل منه دعاة الفتنة ويدخل منه المصادون في الماء العكر أسأل الله الكريم رب العرش العظيم بأسماء الحسنى وصفات العلى أن يوفقني وإياكم للعلم النافع والعمل الصالح وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين
ختاما الشيخ عبد الله says يعني in conclusion we just wanted to mention to those of you who are present here is that we encourage each other to busy ourselves with that beneficial knowledge in learning it in studying it inquiring it and likewise in bringing about that which will benefit us in this life and the hereafter with righteous actions. So no doubt the Muslim is not a person who has faragh. He's not a person who should not be a person who has free time. That such that Shaitan uses that free time in order to misguide him. But rather the person should strive his utmost, using his time in that which is going to please his Lord. Using his time in that which is going to return to him with goodness in this life and hereafter by learning good things and studying the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following that up with righteous actions upon tawheed, making his oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correct. And so the Muslim is not a person who has free time. He should be a person who uses his time to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until he meets him. Even those affairs, yani with regards, the affair where the husband puts a morsel of food in his wife's mouth, yani with the intention that he, yani wants to, with the intention of bringing about love, bringing about also feeding his wife for the sake of Allah. All of that, yani subhanallah, is benefit. Will bring about benefit for the slave of Allah. Even what transpires, yani, by way of relations between the husband and wife, yani, even that seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking that the individual himself and herself is kept away from that which is forbidden. So because of that righteous intention, because of that good intention, the person is rewarded. So he has no faragh. He has no free time in reality, because his free time is used in that which pleases Allah. His free time is used away from allowing Shaytan to occupy him in that free time. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us, yani, from Shaytan, from the people, the callers of fitna, the callers of trials and tribulations towards problems and turmoil. Those who, yani, go in the murky waters causing problems, plotting and planning, We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us wisdom in how to deal with these affairs, to give us knowledge, beneficial knowledge, and to follow that up with righteous actions. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala khayri khalqi Muhammad wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
الآن ممكن 10 دقائق إذا كان ثمة أسئلة ثم أستريحكم عذرا.
Is there any questions for the next 10 minutes the brothers can ask? Yeah, right. Questions need to be written down. Barakallahu fiik.
جزاك الله خير يا شيخ الله يحفظك
ويا بارك الله وياكم
الله يجعلها في ميزان حسناتكم يا شيخ
الله يوفقك انا وياكم
الشيخ حفظك الله هذا يسأل يقول هذا قد اعتمر يعني قبل مجيئه إلى المدينة فيقول هل يجوز له أن يعتمر مرة أخرى من هنا إذا رجع إلى مكة وسؤال الثاني في بعض المعتمرين يعني في مكة يذهبون إلى مسجد عائشة فماذا تقولون يا شيخ في من يكرر العمرة يعني بالذهاب إلى مسجد عائشة
من أدى عمره وعاد إلى المدينة أو غيرها من المدن فله أن يأتي بعمرة أخرى سواء كان عن نفسه أو عن أحد من المتوفين من أقاربه أو المقعدين الملازمين للأسرة ويكون الإحرام من الميقات إذا كان من المدينة فيكون ميقاته مثل الحليفة. أما التردد من التنعيم الذي يفعله بعض الناس المسمى الآن بمسجد عائشة فأرى أنه خلاف السنة بل يروى عن أيوب السختياني رحمه الله يقول لا أدري ها عن هؤلاء الذين يعتبرون من التنعيم هل يؤجرون أم يؤزرون.
نعم هذا من يا شيخ قال
أيوب السختياني تابعين
أبو أيوب السختياني نعم. As for those individuals, in answer to this question, the questioner asked about doing Umrah again by coming back to Medina and performing the Umrah again once they have already performed the Umrah before, yani in the same journey to Saudi Arabia. The Sheikh Hafidhullah said that if one goes back to various cities, or in this particular case comes here to Medina, then they can perform another Umrah from Dhul Hulayfa. They make the intention and then they perform another Umrah for themselves or for their relatives and so on and so forth. As for those who do repeated Umrah from Al-Tan'im, yani they complete the first Umrah and then they go back to Tan'im to do another Umrah for themselves or for other than themselves, then there is a statement by one of the scholars of the past, Ayyub al-Sakhtiyani, he said that I do not know that whether this actually is a hardship upon them, that they're just causing hardship for themselves or that they're rewarded. I do not know that, yani it's as if he's saying they are using up their energy and time, and really it is not something which is legislated يعني, to do that. No. هذا السائل يسأل يقول في يوم الجمعة هل يجوز لأحد أن يتكلم بين آذانين يوم الجمعة خطبة الجمعة
بين خطبتين لا ينبغي الكلام بل ينبغي له أن يستغفر ويلتزم الصمت والدعاء في هذه السبتة التي بين الخطبتين إلا ما اضطر إليه اضطرارا ويكون ذلك خارج الخطبة.
The questioner asked, actually the question wasn't clear, the question said can one talk between the two adhans in the Friday khutbah, but the correction doesn't make sense, so that's how I translated it. But the question actually seems like the individual intended can they talk between the two khutbahs, yani when the imam is silent regarding that. And then the Sheikh Abdullah said that this time it's not befitting that the individual talks, yani between while the imam is silent between the two khutbahs, except if the person is yani by necessity, due to necessity, they are forced to do that. But in reality, that time should be used. They can make istighfar, they can make dhikr and so on. That's answered.
سؤالا أخيرا.
إيه. إيه. هذا سؤال جيد يا شيخ. يعني ما هي طريقة الصحيحة في من يذهب ويسلم على الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ يعني يذهب إلى مقبرة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ويسلم عليه.
الطريقة الصحيحة في السلام على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وصحبه. أولا أود أن أنبه الإخوة إن على أن المجيء إلى المدينة لا يقصد به زيارة القبر، لا قبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا قبر غيره، وإن كانت الزيارة تأتي تبعا، إنما تأتي للصلاة في المسجد النبوي الذي تشد إليه الرحال، والصلاة فيه خير من ألف صلاة فيما سواه. فإذا جئت وأردت أن تسلم على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على أن لا تكرر ذلك، تقف وتقول السلام عليك متوجه للقبر، السلام عليك يا رسول الله ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام عليك يا أبو بكر، السلام عليك يا عمر خليفتي رسول الله، ثم تنصرف ولا تكسر من المكسي، ولا تكسر من المكسي عند القبر، لا قبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقبل قبر غيره، ولا تدعو لنفسك عند القبر، حتى لنفسك لا تدعو، إنما تكتفي بالسلام على الميت فقط، ولا تكرر ذلك لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تجعلوا قبري عيدا، أي لا تتردد عليه مرة بعد مرة. نعم. علما بأن السلام يبلغ إياه صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى لو سلمت من بعيد، يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن لله ملائكة سياحين يبلغونني عن أمة السلام.
The question I asked about what is the right manners or correct etiquette regarding visiting the Messenger of Allah, يعني his grave. Shaykh Hafidhullah said, first and foremost, the person who comes to Medina should not have the intention to visit the grave, first and foremost, because of the various narrations regarding that. The person comes to Medina to, first and foremost, pray in the Masjid Nabawi, and by that they get 1,000 prayers for each prayer that they pray. And this is what you do first and foremost. And then thereafter, if one wants to actually visit the grave of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم after they pray in the Masjid al-Nabawi, then they can do that, and they give salam to him and Abu Bakr, and likewise Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhuma jami'an. So then they give salam to each and every one of them, and they should not stay there and prolong their stay for a long time or supplicate for themselves in that place. And nor should they be a people who yani regularly and do that yani visiting much, because the Prophet himself warned against that, and he said, "Don't make my grave as a Eid, yani a place that is continuously yani visited on a regular basis. Don't be of those people who do that." So, and just to clarify also, the Prophet ﷺ, he already said that the one who sends salam upon me, yani even if he's far away, he doesn't have to be at that place, at the grave. Whoever sends salam upon me, yani salah upon the Rasul ﷺ, then indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has angels who go around yani taking that salam from the people and yani delivering it to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So then you can do that wherever you are in the world, wherever you are, even if it's far away. Now.
فقن الله وإياكم العلم النافع والعمل الصالح وأستودعكم الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
بارك الله فيك. جزاكم الله خيرا. شيخنا صلى الله يجعل في ميزان حسناتكم.
The Sheikh Muhammad bin Ramzan said if you remain seated, he wants to just complete. what he started. So if you all remain seated, then Sheikh Muhammad bin Ramzan will complete what he has already started. Barakallahu feekum.
Sheikh Abdul Bukhari also at 5 o'clock inshallah, ha'iyya. So don't miss that. And now we're going to continue from Sheikh Muhammad Ramzan Hafidhullah, where he last
we're going to take a bit of your time. If you're ready, we can begin, inshallah. Everyone okay with that? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to carry on as well? Keep these, yeah?
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, salatu salam wa rasulullah. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa mawala. أما بعد بدأنا بذكر أمر ثم سننتقل إلى أمر آخر.
So after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Shaykh mentioned that we began with something and then we moved on to the second affair.
الأمر الأول طلبنا أن يكون فيه واجب.
As for the first affair, then we ask you for your homework.
وبما أن هناك وقت الشيخ حصل عنده ضغط الآن واعتذر من المواصلة سنستفيد من هذا الوقت تكملة.
So since the Shaykh has gone because of he has some affairs to deal with, then we can complete what we started.
فهذه يلحق بالواجب من همك.
So now this what we'll begin now is connected to the homework that we gave you earlier. Now that some of you are well versed or well grounded, you know your this affair, so now we will benefit you further. There's a long period of time for some of you with regard to this class work. So now we will return, since you haven't studied for a long time, so now we will return back to your school days. And our mashayikh, they say that our gatherings are schools. And the best of schools are the schools of knowledge or the gatherings of knowledge. And that when the word knowledge is used, then the knowledge intent here is the knowledge of the Sharia. As for the other ones, then they are connected to other affairs. But as for the term ilm, when we use the term knowledge, then we are referring to the knowledge of the Sharia. Do you remember the divisions that we made earlier? So now we will move on, or we will bring to you the affair of the Sunnah. So the first affair was connected to the ibadah, to worship and tawheed.
وَضُدُّهُ
And that which opposes it.
وَهُوَ الشِّرْكُ
And that is shirk.
سَنَبْدَى الْآنْ فِي السُنَّةِ
So now we will begin with the affair of the sunnah.
وَضُدُّهَا
And that which opposes the sunnah.
وَهِيَ الْبِدْعَةِ
And that is the affair of bid'ah.
فَالسُنَّةِ لَهَا مُتَعَلَّقَاتِ فِي أَشْيَاءَ كَثِيرَةً
And the Sunnah, it has connected to it many different affairs.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما أمر الوقت.
عشرين دقيقة.
طيب.
So we have 20 minutes now, so we will do what we can in these 20 minutes, inshallah.
18.
Now we have 18.
دقيقتين قبل نهاية الوقت.
We'll finish 2 minutes before we're supposed to finish.
ولكن هذا هدف بهذا الحوار.
And this is between our conversation here.
قال صلى الله عليه وسلم من توضع نحو وضوء هذا صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who completes his wudu that I have done, and likewise he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who prays pray like you have seen me pray. He said regarding Hajj, do your the rites, complete your rites of Hajj like this, like me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, say to them, O Muhammad, this is my straight path. And I call to it upon short-sightedness, me and those who follow me. So the following is in
aqeedah,
in worship, and likewise manners and etiquette and interactions. And the calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the da'wah to Allah, enters into the affair of worship. And all of these have various examples that go along with them. As for your aqeedah, then it should be your creed. It should be in accordance with the creed of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he said, "Me, I'm a certain that we are called certain knowledge. Me and those who are with me or follow me." And in opposition to that are those who come with beliefs that are in opposition to that innovative beliefs with regard to the affair of the names and attributes, with regard to supplications and tawassul, seeking nearness to Allah and seeking deliverance, istighatha, from other than Allah, with regard to enmity and wala, which means to make allegiance and disavowment, or disavowing for the sake of Allah, to make an enmity for the sake of Allah, and loving for the sake of Allah and hating for the sake of Allah. And with regard to the affairs of worship, we have mentioned 4 examples. What are the 4 matters that we mentioned at the beginning of this discussion? What are the 4 matters we mentioned with regard to worship as relates to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What are they?
Yes.
All right, first one, he's brought the example, take from me the rites of Hajj.
Mumtaz.
The second one, prayers you see me pray.
Mumtaz.
The third one, in aqeedah.
Uh-huh. This one.
And finally the fourth.
Man tawadda.
The fourth affair, A, was the example of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding wudu.
Da'watuna ila sunnah da'wah tafsiliyah.
The da'wah to the sunnah is a da'wah which is
tafsiliyah,
meaning detailed.
Laysa amma.
It is not something just in generalities.
Kadhalika at-tahdhir min al-bid'ah tahdhir tafsili.
Likewise, when we warn against bid'ah, the warning against bid'ah is in detail.
فنجد بعض الناس يتوسلون ويقعون في هذه الأشياء تأتي عند شخص واقع في هذه الشركيات الموالد وغيرها.
Then you find some people when they see others who are entering into the affairs of shirk and celebrating, for example, the birthday of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم or the various anniversaries and birthdays.
لو أتيت هذا الذي في المولد وقلت له ما حكم البدعة؟
With regard to a person who comes to the Maulid in the birthdays, celebrating the birth of the Prophet, what is it? You say to you, what is a bid'ah?
سيقول أعوذ بالله حرام. ما يجوز.
We say that the bid'ah is haram and it is not permissible.
لازم السنة اتباع الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Say rather it is wajib or obligatory to follow the Sunnah of the Prophet and to follow him.
وهو في المولد.
and he himself is at the Mawlid, at the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi
wasallam. هل يعرف معنى الاتباع؟
Does he know what اتباع is? Does he know what following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam
means? هل هو يعرف معنى البدعة؟
Does he know the meaning of بدعة؟
هو يقول هي غير جيدة.
Because he himself has said that بدعة is not good.
ولكنه يمارسها.
Yet he falls into it and he practices بدعة.
لأنه لم يدعى إلى الاتباع بالتفصيل ويحب من البدعة بالتفصيل.
Why? Because he himself does not deal with the affair of innovations with detail as it is required for him.
أريدكم أن تنتبهوا لشيء أن الدعوة السلفية دعوة تفصيلية في كل شيء وليست إجمالية.
And this is what we want to make clear to you, that the دعوة السلفية, the call to Salafiyah, is a call which is in tafsil, in detail, not in generalities. We don't speak in generalities.
وليست هي فقط كما يفهمها بعض مخالفيها.
I know. And it is not as it is understood by some of those individuals who oppose it.
أنهم جرح تعديل بس.
That with them it is just جرح and تعديل. That they think it's just that جرح and تعديل, criticizing people and praising people.
أو تكفير.
Or that it is declaring people to be unbelievers.
أو يقول عنهم متشددون.
Or that it is an affair which is to be stern and harsh.
السلفية نصحة.
سلفية ما؟
نصحة ليس
وحشة. That سلفية it is an advice. It is advising.
هي واضحة.
And it is clarity.
وتشمل كل شيء.
And it encompasses everything.
فلا يتركون شيء.
And it does not leave anything.
يتقنون الاتباع.
And it is precision upon following the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
في كل شيء.
In every single affair.
انتقل في جانب الاتباع بعد العقيدة إلى العبادة.
So after the affair of عقيدة, we leave that and we move on to the affair of بعد العقيدة.
العبادة.
العبادة, worship.
ذكرت لكم أربعة أمثلة في الاتباع في العبادة.
We mentioned four examples with regard to عبادة.
سأذكر أربعة أمثلة في البدع.
So now we will give you four examples with regard to innovations.
فالبدعة في الوضوء, ماذا يفعل بعض الناس؟
And innovations in regard to the four affairs we mentioned, ibadah in accordance to sunnah, four affairs with regard to bid'ah, the first one, the bid'ah with regard to wudu, ablutions. Same examples we're going to give you. Some of the people who make wudu, that they take water and they take it incorrectly. That they wash their bodily parts incorrectly. That they wash their heads. That they make mas upon their necks.
أشياء فيها بدعة.
And these are wiping their necks and so on. These are innovations.
ويقول أريد الخير.
And what is their answer? We only wish good.
الخير فيما سبقنا إليه.
And we say to them that goodness is that which has already preceded us.
ولو كان خير لسبقونا إليه.
And if it was good, it would have, those who came before us, they would have done it.
وما لم يكن ذلك اليوم دين لا يكون اليوم دين.
That which was not religion then is not religion today.
Yeah.
That is sufficient for us.
أريد الخير.
They say we want good.
لو كان خير سبقونا إليه.
And if it was good, it would have already been come before us.
الخير في الاتباع.
خير or goodness is in following the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
والشر في الابتداع.
And evil and all wickedness is in innovations.
كل بدعة ضلالة.
Every innovation is misguidance.
من قال هذا؟
Who said this?
رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم.
فلا تأتي شخص يقول لا هناك بدعة ليست شر.
That it is not permissible for a person to come around now and say no, there is a bid'ah which is not evil.
الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول شر الأمور محدثاتها.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that the most evil of affairs are the newly invented matters.
وهناك من يقول لا هناك محدثات حسنة ليست شر.
And there is a person who comes along and he says, well, actually there are some affairs newly brought around affairs which are good. They are not evil.
الرسول يقول كل من ألفاظ العموم.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said كل, meaning every. It is an absolute general word. كل, everything.
لماذا تخصص؟
So why does he now try to specify?
لماذا تحسن?
Why does he wish to beautify the innovation?
أنت تقول أنها بدعة.
That he will say it is a bid'ah.
ولكنك تقول حسنة.
But you will say it is a bidah, which is a good bidah, bidah hasana. Yet the Prophet said it is evil. But you're saying it's good. And he will say yes. Umar radiallahu anhu said it is a blessed innovation.
عمر يقصد فيها أن الصلاة التي أميتت وهي التراويح قد أحياها فنعم ما بعد.
So Umar رضي الله عنه when he said it is a blessed innovation, he was referring to something that had died, meaning the tarawih, the night prayer that they used to pray in Ramadan, it had disappeared. So Umar revived it. So therefore he called it a blessed innovation.
هل صلاة التراويح سنة عمر أو سنة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم؟
Is the night prayer in the month of Ramadan, is it the sunnah of Umar which he invented, or is it the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the brothers answered. So the Shaykh said, what is the evidence for that? Because of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam related to the night prayer in Ramadan, that whomsoever prays along with the imam up until the imam completes and turns and moves away and leaves the prayer, then it is written for him as if he had prayed the whole of the night related to Ramadan. Is this something that Umar said, or is this something that Umar did? Was Umar not following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi
wasallam?
And likewise the sunnah of the rightly guided caliphs who came after the Prophet sallallahu
alaihi,
holding on to that firmly. And it was not said by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hold on to two of them. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said follow my sunnah and the sunnah of the khulafa, he did not make them, he said follow it, meaning follow the sunnah. He did not make them two, like follow my sunnah and their sunnah. He made them as one sunnah. His sunnah and their sunnah is one sunnah.
لِأَنَّهُ قَالَ عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةُ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي تَمَسَّكُوا بِهَا.
So the Prophet ﷺ said, adhere, what is obligatory upon you is to adhere to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided caliphs after me. And then he said, hold on to it, singular.
نَحْنُ عَرَبُ وَهَذَا مَعْنَا كَلَامْنَا.
So this is the and we hold that this is the meaning that is understood.
نحن عرب, we are Arab, and we know meaning Arab.
So the Sheikh said that we are Arabs, meaning the Sheikh, and those Arabs amongst you, we are Arab and we know the meaning of these words.
لأن هذا انتشر التحريف في بلاد العجم.
And why? Because it occurs amongst the non-Arabs. A tahrif or a deviation, a distortion of this meaning. That if they and they understood the meaning, then they would return back to the Sahaba radiallahu
anhum.
And if they do not do that, then they will return to their own language, meaning to the language of the Arabs. And here we will mention something that occurred with a Qadiani, one of those kuffar Qadianis. That they say that the Prophet ﷺ is the khatam of the Anbiya, meaning the seal of the Prophets.
Al Arab تقول في خاتم الشيخ آخره ختم حتى العجم
ختم. The Sheikh mentioned that. To the Arab, in the language of the Arab, if something is the khatim of something, it means it is the end of something. It has come to an end. Because even amongst the non-Arabs, khatam, the word khatam, meaning end.
It's Urdu.
Urdu. So, therefore, it is said at the end of a speech, it is called the khatima, or the conclusion of something. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in accordance with the hadith that we ask for a good ending, a good khatima, good ending.
هذا الفاجر القدياني قال خاتم الأنبياء أي زينة الأنبياء. فهم مع الخاتم لأن عجم.
So this kafir Qadiani, he turns around and said the meaning of the khatim here is the beautification of the ring. You know, it is something which is decorative upon the fingers, and this is what is meant by this ayah.
لأنه بالعربي اسمه خاتم.
Why? Because in the language of the Arabs, the ring is called the khatam.
فقال خاتم الأنبياء يعني خاتم.
So he says, therefore, when it says, when the term is used, خاتم الأنبياء, or the seal of the prophets, what they mean is the ring or the decoration, that the jewelry of the prophets.
إذا معنى خاتم زينة.
So therefore, the meaning of the term they say is decoration of the prophets.
ثم قدم نفسه وقال أنا نبي.
So therefore, one of them stands up and he says, look, I am a prophet.
فاتبعوني.
So follow me, he says.
واتبعوا.
So they follow him.
والآن مجموعة اسمها القادياني.
And then there appears a group and they are called the قاديانية.
فلا تستغربوا أن يأتي من يحرف الناس ويصرفهم عن الحق.
You know, so do not be, you know, amazed at the fact that, you know, someone comes along and he does these kinds of things.
من كان يصدق أن رجل يقول أنا نبي ويتبع الناس؟ من كان يصدق؟ Who is the somebody said that?
So who will believe that a person will come and say that I am a nabi?
لا أحد.
Nobody.
ومع ذلك.
Yet alongside this, it occurs.
الدجال سيأتي ويقول أنا الله.
The Dajjal will come and he will say, I am Allah.
And then many people will follow him.
And then many people will follow him.
هذا بالنسبة للاتباع الأخلاق.
So this is concerning the issue of اتباع and now أخلاق.
سأختصر من أجل الوقت.
How long when's the other? 20 minutes? 8 minutes.
الأخلاق قال صلى الله عليه وسلم.
With regard to the أخلاق, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said,
إنما بعثت لأتمم
مكارم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, I have not been sent except to perfect the noble manners or the noble character.
فلها أهمية عند السلفيين بعد العقيدة والعبادة الأخلاق الأخلاق الأخلاق.
So the most important affair after the aqidah and ittiba following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the akhlaq, the manners.
Al-adab ma'a Rasulullah, ma'a sahaba, ma'a ulama, ma'a al-walidin.
The manners of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding the manners with regard to the scholars, with regard to the people, with regard to the elders, with regard to the generality of the people, the young and the old. What did you say? The manners with regard to Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with regard to the Sahaba, the adab or the etiquette with regard to the ulama, with regard to the parents, with regard to one's wife, necessary, and likewise with zawjatain. With regard to likewise two wives. And the third wife. And the fourth wife.
And the one who has
one, then likewise that he gives importance to her. And likewise with the children. And likewise with regard to the uncles and the aunts on both sides of the family. And likewise your cousins, the children of your uncles and aunts. And with regard to the connection of the wombs. And likewise the neighbors. And likewise the generality of the Muslims. And likewise the generality of mankind. And be and have those relations which are the best types of interactions. And enters into that the affair of the Muslim and the Kafir. So therefore, the affair of following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not just a short, small affair.
What that one?
And da'wah. And the da'wah and calling to Allah enters into the affairs of worship. And inshallah we will complete this affair in our next gathering, sitting.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And then the Shaykh completed by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.